Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to try to bring a message from the first six verses in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm taking the title from what is said in verse 6, Matthew 11, verse 6, blessed, and that word means happy. Happy is that person, happy is he, whosoever it is, whosoever that shall not be offended in me. Offended? Not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man who is not offended by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel of the grace of God is offensive to the natural man. Did you know that? It's offensive to the natural man. You tell a man looking dead in the eye, saying to him, "You're a guilty, vile, wretched sinner." I'm not quite that bad. You see, that message is offensive to the natural man. The believer says, "You're right. That's me." The believer agrees with God against himself. The believer agrees, I am a wretched sinner. You see, the carnal mind, the natural man, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. But the believer owns the Lord Jesus Christ as everything. And everything that he says of us, we agree with him. We agree with him. When he says guilty, you're right, Lord. We're guilty. When he says ungodly, you're right, Lord. We agree with him. Paul, in his letter to the church of Galatia, wrote about the offense of the cross. He said in Galatians chapter 5, "If I yet preach circumcision," and he means by that works, "if I yet preach works or the law, deeds of the law, why would I suffer persecution? For then would the offense of the cross, it would cease." If I would preach works, there's no offense in that. But if I preach salvation by the grace of God, that's offensive to the natural man. Now, it's not to the believer, but to the natural man. That those who are blessed of God to see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not ashamed of him, or they're not offended about the gospel of Christ. They're not ashamed to publicly own the gospel of God's sovereign grace as it's revealed in Christ. You remember, just look across the page, if you have the Cambridge that I'm looking at, in chapter 10, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Believers readily, openly, publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. When Paul writes to the believers there in Rome, and I'm sure that the believers there in Rome, Rome was an ungodly empire. Rome was an ungodly city. And they severely persecuted believers of the gospel. The apostle ended up in prison in Rome and was later executed for preaching the gospel. But he said this, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel." And then he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, whether he be a Jew or a Gentile. For therein in that gospel, the gospel of God, is the righteousness of God revealed from one degree of faith to another." We see Christ as all our salvation. Now, look at verse 1, Matthew 11, verse 1. And we see these familiar words, but don't read over them. "And it came to pass." You see that? It just didn't happen. God brought it to pass. And we could read it that way. God brought it to pass. When Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And it came to pass. I don't think I've ever done this before, but I looked up that phrase, "it came to pass." It's used 452 times. 452 times. All things come to pass in time, by the determinate counsel of God. God's foreknowledge of all things is based upon his foreknown, unchanging, immutable decrees. God knows all things because His foreknowledge is based upon His decree of all things. His decree of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, I like this scripture, and I wrote it down word for word, copied it, pasted it, Isaiah 46, 10 and 11. The Lord said, I declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, I have spoken it, I bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will do it. Now that doesn't sound like a weak, pitiful God who's trying to get folks to make a decision for Him. That's not the God of the Bible. The one who wants to and can't, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible does as He will, with whom He will, as He will, to His own glory. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and earth, sea and all deep places. Now, something else we see in verse 1, the value of true preaching. The value of true preaching. When the Lord had made an end of commanding, notice not suggesting, commanding His 12 disciples. Now, here He's talking about the 12 apostles that He set aside and told them to go. He told them where to go. And He told them what to do, what to preach. Go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Commanding His 12 disciples, His followers, His apostles, He departed Himself. When He sent them out, He also went out. He departed thence to teach and preach in their city. The Lord Jesus Christ puts a high value on preaching the gospel. He puts a high premium and importance about sending out the gospel message. His chosen men were taught of God. These 12 apostles were specially chosen of God, commanded where to go, when to go, and what to preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. When Paul was sitting in that Roman prison, writing back to the young preacher Timothy, he said, I command thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the word. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The point I'm making is the Lord puts a high premium on the preaching, not just preaching now, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That has not changed in our day either. While there are no apostles like these men in our day, John, Peter, and others, yet the Lord still is pleased to send out His messenger with His word and His truth. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself was a teacher and preacher of the will and word of God and the way of salvation in Him. Now let me just remind you of a few places. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. When He called James and John and Peter and Andrew, He called them, said, follow me, and they left their nets and followed Him. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went out to all Syria. And they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, possessed with devils, the lunatic, those who were paralyzed, and He healed them. We've seen this not only once, but twice. Turn back over here to, I believe it's Matthew chapter 9. Yeah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Preaching and healing. You know, that's what exactly is going on today God sends out gospel preachers, and through the preached word of truth, God heals sick, vile sinners, and He makes them whole. He makes them whole. Now look at verse 2 and 3. And when John had heard in prison, now what was John doing in prison? One thing I noticed in reading this, John didn't say, "You go tell Jesus to get me out of here." He was content to be in prison. He didn't ask the Lord to come and get him out. "You come and get me. You're the Almighty God. Come and get me out." He didn't say that. He was content knowing that he was there by the purpose of God. When John had heard in prison, now he was in prison for the gospel's sake. He was in prison for preaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When John in prison heard of the works of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or is there another?" Do we look for another? Another. While John was sitting there in prison, he knows that his ministry is coming to an end. He was a forerunner to identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he identified him as the Lamb of God, God put him on a shelf, put him in prison. He knows his ministry is coming to an end. We know his life is coming to an end. You remember he was beheaded by Herod. Herod had him beheaded. So he sends two of his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ to convince them that he was the true Messiah that John prophesied about. He wasn't asking this question for himself. There's too much evidence in the Word of God that John knew exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ was. But he didn't send one person, he sent two. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Even there, the Lord is obeying the very law of God. Art thou he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Or are we to look for someone else? Now be sure we know this. There is no other Savior. There is no other Redeemer. There is no other sacrifice for sin. There's no other way of salvation. John and Peter confessed it both in Acts chapter 4 before that Sanhedrin council. Neither is there salvation in any other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one, sent of God. Now there are many today in different countries and different places who are still looking for the coming of the Messiah. They're still looking for the coming of the Messiah. The Jews in particular. He came to his own people and they did not receive him. And they're still looking for the coming of the Messiah, who has to be the son of David, who has to be the tribe of Judah, that has to fulfill all scripture. Would there be a man appear in Judea in these days that would meet all of those qualifications to be the Messiah? Remember in Matthew chapter 1, the Word of God is so careful to give us the genealogy of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, both of Mary and of Joseph, tracing the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ right back to David, right back to Abraham. Yes, He is the true Messiah. There is no other. Don't look for another. He's already come. He's already come. So many people have missed Him. They missed the One who has come. There will be no other. There is no other gospel. Paul, when he writes to the Galatians, says this, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be damned." And then he says, in case you didn't hear it, "Though we or an angel preach any other gospel than we have preached, let him be damned." He says it twice, just in case we missed it the first time. Now, John knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the true Messiah. And here, we've seen this in Matthew. Turn back to Matthew chapter 3. So he's not asking this question for himself. He wants his disciples to be convinced in their own heart
When John beholds the Lamb of God, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And then the next day, if you read John chapter 1, the next day he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He was a one-string preacher. Christ. But look what it says here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me? And the Lord answering said, Suffer it to be so now for us, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." And Jesus, verse 16, "When he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John is looking right at the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that he just baptized, and he sees the Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove, and he hears God the Father speak from heaven and said, "This is my Son. Hear him. I'm well pleased with him." Now, that just convinces me beyond all doubt that John knows that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah. And he's looking to him for all salvation. You remember in John chapter 3, he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And then he says of the Lord Jesus Christ, John said, "The Father loveth the Son and given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." John said this, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So John is wanting his disciples to hear that from the Lord himself. And here's the answer, verse 4, 5, and 6. "The Lord answered and said unto them, Go back to John, and you show John, and you tell John those things, again, those things which you hear, and those things which you see." They were eyewitnesses to his glory. The blind, they really received their sight. The lame, they were made to walk. The lepers, they're cleansed. The deaf, they hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now, we've seen this before. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we'll get back to that verse in just a moment. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in his hometown of Nazareth and his hometown synagogue, in Luke chapter 4, you remember? In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to read." Now, this is the Lord Jesus in his hometown church, we'd say. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's quoting Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the minister, and sat down. In the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him, and he began to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Lord came to do exactly. He said, "The work the Father had given me to do, I have finished it. I have completed it." Now, these things that are mentioned here, we've seen each and every one of these, where he talks about lepers being cleansed. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, the leper came to the Lord and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. And then the lame man to walk, you remember those four men carried their friend on a stretcher and they climbed up on the roof because they couldn't get in by the normal means through the door, and they let that man down through the ceiling, taking off the roof and letting him down into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said to him, your sins are forgiven. And he took up his bed and walked. And then the dead are raised up. You remember that little girl of that the synagogue, the ruler in the synagogue, that little girl, 12-year-old, died. And that ruler said, you come to my house, my daughter is sick. And while they were on the way to the house, one of the servants came and said, your daughter's dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked right in that room and said, maid, arise. And she woke up alive. On another occasion, the Lord was in a certain city, and there was a widow in that city whose son had died. And they were carrying his body out of the city in a coffin. This man had been dead a day, 2 days, I don't know. But the Lord just simply reached out and touched the coffin and that young man sat up. He actually raised people from the dead. And then we know about Lazarus, don't we? Lazarus had been buried, that dear brother of Martha and Mary, whom they loved. You remember they said to the Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. The Lord loved him and they loved him, but he got sick and died. And of course, they put his body in the tomb. They rolled a stone on it. He'd been in there 4 days. The Lord delayed his coming on purpose. You know what happens when the body dies? Corruption sets in immediately. And that body had been in that grave 4 days. And the Lord walked in front of that tomb of Lazarus and said, Remove the roll the stone away. And they said, well, you really? You want to do that? That body is stinking. It's rotten flesh. They rolled the stone away, and the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead walked out of the tomb. Now the Lord did, it wasn't a play-like thing. The Lord actually raised up dead sinners. And then we see he made the blind to see. You remember in Matthew chapter 9, he made the blind to see. And they, when he was come to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do ye believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. He actually gave sight to the blind. And then he said the deaf were made to hear. And we've seen that on several occasions in Matthew chapter 9 and other places. And then he said the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Poor, poor, mercy, beggars. And the Lord preached the gospel of the grace of God unto them. Now, what does all that have to do with us? Everything that we just read there is what we are by nature. What we are by nature. We're dead, we're lame, we're blind, we're poor, we're deaf. Everything that these people were naturally is what we are spiritually. We're born lepers. I mean through and through. Leprosy is a type of sin. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. How can this leper be cleansed? Not by good works, not by deeds. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We were lame, unable, unwilling to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. He said, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me. Draw him and I'll raise him up at the last day. He makes us willing to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him. By nature, we're unable, unwilling. But by his grace, he makes the lame to walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then we were blind too. We were blind. This is talking about what we are when we're born. We're born blind. Now we may have a natural sight, but what I'm talking about is spiritually. We have no spiritual eyes to see the glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no eyes to see the loveliness of Christ. He must give us life that we might see Him as all in salvation. He is the one who commands the light to shine in our heart. In Genesis 1:1, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When the gospel's preached, the Lord takes that word, and by His command, He gives us life and light in Christ Jesus. And it's by His command. 2 Corinthians 4:6. He commands the light to shine in our dead hearts. And then we were not only lepers, we were not only lame, we were not only blind, we were born deaf. I know we hear things naturally, but spiritually speaking, we were deaf to the Word of God. Could not hear the Word of God of the Gospel until He gave us ears to hear. Look what it says in verse 15 there in Matthew 11, verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. You see, God must open our ears that we might hear Him speak as He speaks through the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. And then we were born dead. He said the dead are raised up. We were born dead in sin, dead in trespasses and in sin. As David said, in sin my mother conceived me. Born spiritually dead. In Adam all died. The Lord comes and gives us life. You hath He quickened who were dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead in sin, as one old preacher friend of mine used to say, graveyard dead. Totally depraved. Graveyard dead. And yet the Lord says to us, live. Live. And He gives us life in Christ. And then He says there in the text, the poor have the gospel preached to them. We, by nature, born spiritually bankrupt. Bankrupt. Absolutely. Can you get poorer than dirt poor? Have nothing, know nothing, we are nothing, get poor, poor beggars, spiritually bankrupt. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ has made us heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're looking at the world's richest man. Did you know that? You don't know that. You know that now, don't you? I'm looking at some folks over here that are the world's richest people. God, for you know the grace of God, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm poor and needy, David said, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Now, if you look at the conclusion of that, you have to arrive at this. Salvation is His doing. Dead men don't give themselves life. Blind men don't give themselves sight. We were totally shut out without God, without hope, and without Christ. And He came and gave us life by His will, by His purpose, by His grace. Salvation is of the Lord. All that the Father hath given to me will come to me, and those that come to me I'll never cast out. The Father hath given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given to me. Now, right here in this same chapter, Matthew 11, look at verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good, it seemed good in Your sight. Now look at verse 27 carefully. Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Salvation comes by the sovereign revelation of God Almighty. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, verse 6. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is that sinner that's not ashamed to own the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man. David writes about the blessed, happy man. Blessed and happy is that man whom the Lord will not impute sin, will not charge his sin. Blessed is that man whom the Lord chooseth and causeth to approach unto him. Blessed is that man who has the God of Jacob for his salvation. His people are blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. As Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. That's how we started the book of Revelation. Blessed is that man that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. Now, I'm going to quit with this. I want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Jews stumbled over Christ and Him crucified, but those saved in Christ, the gospel, the power and wisdom of God. Look at verse 22. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Jews require a sign. They're still looking for that sign. The Greeks, they seek after wisdom. They're still looking for intellectualism and other isms. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Unto the Greek, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen, verse 27, the foolish things of the world confound the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, verse 30. I hope you got this verse underlined, circled, emboldened. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the blessed man. Blessed is that man who's not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ.